New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My job as critiquing is if it's good or not, not it did it wow me. Are we incentivized to be more inflammatory with our reviews? We are incentivized to.
Yeah.
But the other incentive, I would say the critic that you trust is more valuable.
Don't touch
guy,
me.
Guy isn't. Welcome everyone to the Tune Around Podcast. My name is Richard.
And I'm one of you. I'm the people. My name's Austin.
I'm not one of you. I'm the critic. And critics know best. Do critics know more than you?
The audience. And I say that, but I'm totally a critic too. You know, I have my things. I have my curmudgeon side. I think we found the more that we've been reading and reviewing on this channel, we both fall into that trap of can we even relate to them anymore? We're having this conversation. I feel like this is you, me, and then a bunch of people listening into us trying to justify our own existence.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah. I'm not going to try and justify it. We don't deserve to exist, but we do. So here we are.
But actually, what are the pros and cons of a critic or an audience member? You know, everybody sees on Rotten Tomatoes, you have the critic score, audience score. Books have booktuber scores and critics. I guess we're that version of critics of the book world.
I guess so.
Those magazines out there that review books. You put yourself in that camp,
sure,
right?
Then there's also things like Hugo Award New York Times bestseller. Like, there are other critics than just booktubers. But yes. I would say up and coming for at least the fantasy sci-fi genre, a lot of newer readers, you know, in the target demographic group are going to YouTube rather than the New York Times.
Yeah. And then if you're an audience member who maybe you just read a lot of books and then post something on Goodreads and you have lots of reviews on there, what makes you a critic first?
Generally, a critic would be an authoritative opinion, and that authority comes from a lot of opinions. That about covers it. So if you read enough books and you post enough opinions about it, I guess you eventually become a critic.
And if people pay enough attention to you to where your opinion is something people look to read a book or not, or maybe, because it's a very loose definition, right?
Sure. I'll stick with it loose. Have some type of sway over people or whether or not to buy a book or not.
Okay. I like that. So you define ourselves in the critic category.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we have to be, right?
But it does pain me to say that, because when I go on Rotten Tomatoes, in general, I side with the audience score. I'm like, I look at the critics on Rotten Tomatoes and go like, who are these nutcases? I look at all the scores to give you like preview of some of the stuff we're going to be talking about today. Like, seeing the Rings of Power critics reviews. Makes me think, oh man, Amazon, where did all your marketing budget go to? It clearly couldn't have gone to any particular people, because it's real hard for me to look at that and say that's fully honest reviews.
That's quality work right there.
Yeah, no, and especially from critics. Like, if you're a critic, you've seen a lot of stuff. This isn't just, hey, bright lights razzle dazzle you and like maybe can, like Avatar, you know, sways the masses because 3D, new, fresh, cool.
Avatar the movie, not Avatar Last Airbender, the show.
Yes, the movie.
You talk about that.
Like, that's the reason why it did well. The story and characters. The critics were like,
what the hell was the main character's name? John?
I think it's Jake.
Is it Jake? Yes, Jake Sully. It's Jake Sully.
Hey, look at that. We remember the name. So there's something.
Big, because I think we've made fun of it enough to remember the name. Yeah.
But no, it's stuff like that where the critics at least can see, hey, the story itself is not particularly good, but yeah, the technology is impressive. So, you know, the fancy lights sprinkle, you know, dangle the keys in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you would expect, that the critics can see through that stuff and the audience is easily captured by special effects and big razzle-dazzle.
Yeah.
Well, Rings of Power is the opposite. A lot of razzle-dazzle, a lot of money put into that, and not a lot of substance. So
I have a game to play later with you where I picked out the audience and critic scores from big movies, smaller movies, to see who you side with more, to see if that goes online. And also books that are controversial where critics love them, audience doesn't, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So I'll have a couple to give you, but to first go off of that whole, since we're defining ourselves as critics, what is even the advantage of this? What are the pros of going and seeing a critic's review when you go on to Rotten Tomatoes, you go seek an opinion? What's the pros? What are the pros?
I mean, I guess we had to talk about what should be and shouldn't. Like,
yeah.
What should be the pros is a bunch of people who've seen a bunch of stuff generally know what is of quality. If you've seen 100 movies, hopefully you can tell something is generally good or generally bad. Hopefully. If you haven't seen many movies, then the first movie that is passable will seem amazing to you because that's just the nature of novelty. So hopefully critics can be able to provide some type of benchmark of, hey, this passes the sniff test. It's, again, this is fresh. It's not rotten. It makes sense to me. It doesn't seem like that always works out, though. So that's where...
Why do you think it doesn't always work out?
Well, specifically with Rotten Tomatoes, they've gotten caught a couple times of manipulating their numbers due to a bunch of different aspects of freezing the audience member scores on, hey, we're getting review bombs, or we're stopping that, and then you see... If there's some kind of cultural zeitgeist around a film, maybe critics, because they're public figures, are afraid to say their real opinion about it. So when you look at the critic score, you'll see, hey, this has 100% critic score, but only has like 5 critics that are reviewing it. It's a pretty big project. Something seems odd about that, where the difference between 100% fresh and, hey, 100 critics were reviewing this. That's very different than, hey, 100% fresh. 5 critics reviewed it.
I think that's 2 points off of that. Something that maybe people don't know on to hear when we're reviewing a book, we'll never take money to review a book. Ever.
So we will
never do that because we're trying to keep some form of honesty here. Like we really do want to keep that authentic. The bigger we get, the harder it becomes from the view of the public of, oh, are we being honest or not? Because the bigger you get, the more influence, the more you're tied to different projects. So it's harder when, this is why authors won't go and shit on other authors and other books, because they have so much sway, so much influence, and doing so would be a detriment to the other author. And also, it's tough when you're trying to get into the industry to want to feel a part of it and be in the club.
Yeah.
So Chris Stuckman is a good example of this. Anybody who does or doesn't know, Chris Stuckman does movie reviews on YouTube. You guys can check out some stuff and some feedback and some response videos of people looking at Chris Stuckman. The quick version of the story is Chris Stuckman did reviews of movies, and he would do things he liked, he didn't like, and he would talk all the ranges of opinions. But over time, as he got bigger and as he started to want to make a film of his own, he stopped reviewing any movies he didn't like. Will only give praises to movies. Will only show like, hey, so if you see a video on his channel now, it's a movie he liked. That's what it gets to. And so a lot of that is the authenticity. If he's not just giving his full range of opinions, but at the same time, his thing is he's making a film. He kind of wants to be in there, doesn't want to throw shade at people. So you could see why he's doing it, but it totally loses the authenticity part of, okay, now
he's no longer a reviewer first, filmmaker second.
He's going for that. No.
He's putting himself of, I want to be filmmaker first. Yeah. And generally in any industry, you don't crap on your colleagues. Yeah. That's just generally not good form. Even if you think they're bad, unless they're actually harmful to the industry, you generally don't badmouth your colleagues. So there was a recent somewhat scandal, I guess. It's not really. That's hyperbole.
There was like a scandal. Get those like.
There was a mild kerfuffle.
Way to tone that down. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it is guy behind Pulp Fiction.
Tarantino.
Tarantino basically said that he didn't want to watch the Dune movies. Because he's like, hey, I'm not going to watch the new Dune movies. I'm tired of remakes. I'm just sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it. And, you know, the director for the movie kind of clapped back. Like,
didn't even know, yeah.
Shut up, man. Like, what the fuck?
I didn't see this, did he?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And so it's just, it comes off pretty poorly. Whereas you'd expect someone like Tarantino just like, dude, don't crap on another person's project, especially something he hasn't even seen, but he's just saying, like, I'm not going to go see it. Like, that kind of influences, he's trying to influence people not to see it. Now, you could argue he's saying that well after the movie's been released, so he's not
a success.
Like, he's not affecting this because Dune's already out.
Got it.
It'd be one thing if opening, like, you know, the week before opening night, he comes out like, I refuse to watch Dune. Maybe that does have an influence. But
is that similar
after,
to the whole Martin Scorsese making fun of Marvel movies, saying they're not real cinema?
Similar things.
Similar
so
to that.
So how much can artists and creatives be honest with their opinions without crapping on everyone else's work? Especially because they want, in turn, they don't want... The reason why you do that is because you have to work with these people eventually and also hope to they to help you and your work.
Yeah.
It's awkward to... You know, go to the same places, talk to the same people when you've been bad mouthing them
Rich and I are in this situation right now as we speak. Yeah. We are in this situation where we are going to be panelists at Dragon Steel. At this point, by this video's release, I think we are just doing it. We'll be right around there. Mm-hmm. We're on a Dragon Steel panel, and one of our fellow panelists is an author of a book, which Rich and I made a video saying how much we hated that book. So just like, to show you insight.
Especially early on, that wasn't us just saying, hey, this book isn't for us. I think we were pretty... We were going into it. Of like, we really didn't like it. Some would say even mean-spirited a little bit.
Well, so a more recent video we did on Name of the Wind, for example, like it's...
That was mean-spirited.
Yeah, so videos when we're reviewing it, showing our passion for why we don't like something, but we did this and now we're going to be panelists. And we already chatted with him in a call and like kind of broke the ice, said, hey, by the way, if you look two hooligans up, we were talking about it, but obviously he took it well. So usually when you actually talk with the authors, if we're joking with the mean-spirited, if we're personally attacking the author, don't ever do that. But focus on the book. Why didn't you like the book? Always do it in a good spirit. Come from good intentions and things should be okay in the long run. But we're running into that where I imagine people way bigger than us in the film industry, book industry, wherever, if they're degrading a book, if they're saying something and maybe they do it less tactfully, whatever they say, then they are going to run in the same circles. Which is why I think there's this perception from, a correct perception from the audience of smaller channels, smaller book reviewers, movie reviews, almost has more honesty and integrity to it because you go ask your buddy and your friend, hey, did you like this film or not? They're 100% going to give you their honest opinion. They're not posting it online. They're saying, I liked the movie. I didn't like the movie.
There's no reason
I liked
not
the book.
To
I did. Like, why? What would be the ulterior of motive to... say otherwise. And then,
now that we're in this position, I actually don't even... To say that people lie in this position, I think is even going a step too far. I think very few people lie about their opinions. But because of the position that they're in and the industry, the pressure to maybe curtail your opinion, it affects you in more subtle ways. Give a more recent example with both Rings of Power and the Wheel of Time show. They had opening week, so especially for Rings of Power, the opening weekend, opening night, they had this whole event. Amazon put on this whole thing where they invited a bunch of people out. It was, you know, it was a Lord of the Rings inspired dinner. There was giveaways, goodie bags. They were put in this really huge event. I think it was a couple days. They got to talk with the actors, the directors, all this hubble up, you know. And then you get to watch the stuff. After being put in an environment where you are so pampered and so enthusiastic, you're surrounded by people that are excited for this project, and then you see the show, like, I imagine your opinion's going to be influenced by everything surrounding that. And that does that make them liars? No. I wouldn't even really say so. It's just their opinion has been influenced. It's very different from just take random person, plop them on the couch, and they watch it alone. Nothing influences them. Yeah, they'll probably give a very neutral take.
There's a way bit more bias involved.
Exactly. Yeah. So are they lying? No, I don't think so, but definitely biased. And
but how some, much can you some lies that? Are the lies you tell yourself, you know, because sure. You can kind of do some mental gymnastics in your head like, oh, I know I'm at the actors. I know the work that went into this. How can I be upset when I know all? I guess the more you learn about it, too, goes, OK, this is way bigger than me and just sitting down and watching the TV show or reading the book. We go, oh, look at this 200,000 page book that I'm now complaining about because I don't like it. Whereas you look at Patrick Ruffus, who spent 7 years on that, an additional 7 years to actually get it done. Like, we're just reading it in 2 day span, what took somebody years and years and years. So I guess you get a little bit influenced to, oh, I know the work that I went into it. Also, something in your mind saying, I don't want to be rude because I want to be invited back to this kind of stuff.
How much and are you have hope for, hey, I don't want to kill it in the water. Like, maybe
give it a chance.
Better, give it a chance. Yeah. Now, when I watched The Wheel of Time, I had some hope. Yeah. When I watched, I think, at least 6 episodes of, like, I'm not enjoying this, but, like, maybe it'll get better. And I had that hope all the way to the end. I imagine a lot of people were kind of at that point of, this is my favorite series ever. Do I really want to, like, write it off episode 1? No. Gotta give it a chance. Take someone like Sanderson's been pretty fairly open about his opinion of, like, didn't really like the direction the Wheel of Time show went. And he gave us 2 cents.
He does it so tactfully, though.
He did very tactfully. But can you imagine him? Like, he finished The Wheel of Time, one of his favorite series. Mm. He's put so much work into it. And now one of his favorite series, something he's worked on, gets to go to, you know, the big little screen, whatever you call it.
The screen.
The screen.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the pressure of, like, do I really want to just crap all over this and, like, with the hope that, hey, maybe he'll get better in season 2. Why should he wants it to succeed.
Yeah.
And giving an overtly negative opinion on it probably is not going to help it succeed. Though maybe it does need it. Maybe for something to pivot, you need to be able to provide negative feedback, which side tangent of why TV is generally bad now, because we've lost the 24 episode season week to week. And the idea of shows being able to write on demand and, like, the first 6 episodes, 10 episodes, 12 episodes come out and you get user feedback actively. Like, look at Friends, look at Seinfeld, all these different great shows. The beginning, the writers changed. They took active feedback and, like, altered things. Okay, oh, no one likes this character. Okay, let's change him. Let's alter it. By the end, like, second, third season, or even halfway through season 1, suddenly so much better.
Mm.
You can't do that now. Like, Rings of Power was written and done by the time first episode dropped. It was completed. And they were already working on season 2. Already writing stuff. Like, where is their time? Where's the negative criticism feedback?
On that negative criticism, though, that can also be true. So we're kind of talking about one scenario right now where the critics are being overly enthusiastic about something and something that is bad, something that's generally not good, but people saying, oh, it's good because they're omitting it, or there's some other reasons where the reviewer is biased. The reverse can be true, which, I mean, we've been accused of here as well, where when we give a negative review, this happened a little bit recently because of my thoughts on Last Argument of Kings, and Name of the Wind came out and just finished another book I don't like. So, I mean, because there's also the audience is also thinking, hey, we're trying to get views right now. So are we influenced to have a controversial or contrarian take so that, oh, look, this is the reviewers that are shitting on another book that are saying, oh, I don't like this as well, because you see, we hate Name of the Wind in the title. We're going like, okay, well, it, first off, it is our genuine thoughts, but we'll get into that. But I see from the audience's point of view of, okay, now there's almost as much of a bias and influence to hate on a book that others like, because that will draw clicks, that will draw views, that will draw more audience members. Now, we can give our thoughts on that, but that that is equally true where both the positive and there's almost no perfect ground, because both can be seen as, if you don't trust the reviewer's intent, you assume on the reviewer like, hey, I think this person is doing it for this reason, then you'll whatever opinion they state, you'll never get there, because you don't go to reviewers you trust, essentially.
At least my standpoint, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but how I see it is, are we incentivized to be more inflammatory with our reviews? We are incentivized to.
Yeah.
But the other incentive that I at least see is our integrity is going to help us in the long run. That's if we want to be here for a long time, our integrity matters way more than one video. And so
my integrity does. Yours, I don't care about your integrity.
That's fair.
No, okay. Vice versa.
Yeah,
okay. We're
whatever. Because as long as you agree with me, that's correct. As long as you disagree
with me, it's hard. I've been on a campaign for years now to ruin your integrity.
Yeah, you're trying. I know a couple. It's like, it bothers me a little bit, just a little bit.
Is it the furry thing?
It is. Oh. You took one of the things I hate most and are trying to associate with me.
AI technology is getting so good that someone could take your voice from all these podcasts and definitely AI a video of you. I'm just saying, you can never know the truth at a certain point.
You don't need to mention
that. I'm just giving ideas. No. But no, it's your
point. One of these days, Alice.
But to your point, yes. We are incentivized to keep our integrity.
But in addition to that is we do a variety of stuff. We try and do topic videos. And for the videos, we definitely try of like, hey, what's going to be more interesting? Like that kind of stuff. If we have a lukewarm opinion on something. Yeah, okay. Maybe we don't need to talk about that. We'll talk about it in passing, but we won't make a whole video about it.
Yeah.
That's where we focus, trying to make YouTube-friendly stuff. Where with the books, we take it or leave it. Like our Dungeon Crawler Carl stuff. It's like, we know it's not going to do well, but I think it does well to our credibility of, hey, it's stuff we like. We know it's not going to do well on YouTube, but cool. It's stuff we like. I think that generally viewers will appreciate, hey, look, they're doing book reviews, whether or not it does well for them monetarily or not for views. Like, we're just generally going to release stuff when we both read a book. Yeah. We're going to do a review about it.
Talk about it. Yeah.
Whether or not it's exciting or not. Like, and think about Kings of the Wild, where we both had kind of like, it's fine. It's a fine book. Like, we didn't give it high praise. We didn't crap on the book either. But we released the view anyway. Like,
pretty mid.
It would be much more sensational. It would be much more YouTube friendly. You know, if one of us was like, oh, the book sucks, or oh, the book was amazing. Neutral. Book two of Mistborn. We're like, it's okay. A little step down, but like, that's not inflammatory enough.
There's plenty of those too, because in a way, we're also, I think, for book reviews especially, when somebody reviews a popular book that's well liked, there's also the incentive to also like the book. That kind of thing we're talking about, Rings of Power, that's a bad example because a lot of people are hating Rings of Power. So maybe a well-liked movie.
The Godfather.
So The Godfather, there's a bias here for, I have some movie hot takes, of course. Okay, one of them, I don't like the first Joker movie. I don't like Taxi Driver. I've mentioned this on the pod, but there's super popular movies that people have their hot takes with. But for example, in books, it can almost be an incentive or a bias to a book reviewer to go, if you come out and say like, hey, I hate Lord of the Rings, I hate XYZ, a lot of the big staples, something that's very well liked and your review is hating on that, there's a little bit of incentive. Do you want to discredit yourself? Because sometimes when people see a negative review, if you don't like something they do like, well, that's it. They're not going to you for the reviews anymore.
Yeah.
So, I go to Matt's Fantasy Reviews. I go to Mike's Reviews. Anybody that Bookborn, they're reviewing something. I'll look and I go, okay, because I know their taste is like this, I look for this kind of thing. So sometimes with building that, do you find that to be true? That you'll, I guess, is there a time for you that you've noticed yourself being biased one way or the other of like, are you seeing what people are saying and inflating your opinion or deflating your opinion? And that's kind of hard to track, but do you think that's happened for a book review here?
No, I don't think so.
Just been staying like, hey, this is what I think. I'm stating my opinion.
The couple times where the audience or like people around me say something different than my opinion, especially on a book that I've read years ago, like it happened with Name of the Wind, I was willing to give it another chance.
Yeah.
Genuinely, of hey, everyone really likes this book. Maybe I was just in the wrong place when I was reading this. Who knows? And I got a lot more books under my belt. Give it another shot. Guess what? And still hated it. So vindicated yet again. Same thing with Jade City. There's been a couple books out like that where I've been influenced to rethink my opinion. But generally, most of the time, no, my opinion's pretty firm. There are other circumstances for me to reconsider my opinion. Time being the biggest one of,
yeah,
hey, this happened really long ago, or especially, hey, that was really early on. I hadn't read too many books at that point, and I read that book, and I really loved it. Maybe I won't think so kindly on it now.
Yeah.
Who knows? But overall, I don't think outside opinion has really affected me as much. How about you?
I think over time, look at me patting myself on the back for a second, but over time, I'll explain this. Over time, I think I've gotten more honest with my reviews. In a strange way, and I don't mean that by like, I know, value integrity. I always want to be honest with things. But I think earlier on in reviewing and book reading, since there was more that I didn't know, more that I hadn't read, I'm like, oh, maybe this isn't above average book. Maybe this is below average, and I'll kind of defer to your opinion or others' opinions more so of like, because I haven't read enough to go. Like, I guess earlier on, I'm thinking, this is what I think, but I haven't read this book and this book. I haven't read five different type of murder mysteries. So maybe this murder mystery is good. But the more I guess I've read, the more I've gone, oh no, this is what I think, because I look back to that. No, I liked it better in that book. So the more I've been able to understand where my opinion is relative to other things, the more I've been able to kind of narrow down my opinion. Not that I was dishonest in the past, but that I had less information to go off of. So yeah. Now I'm able to kind of, I guess what the advantage of reviewers is over time, as you do this kind of stuff, we hopefully get better at illustrating our opinion, explaining ourselves, and just being, this is where I'm coming from, and which I see advantage in other critics and reviewers that we go to of going, okay, even if you disagree with the reviewer, hopefully you can see where they're coming from and go, ah, I see why somebody would or wouldn't like this book and what the pain points were, what the good positives were.
Mm-hmm.
I think for you, do you see that being the case? Because you walked into this podcast already being a bigger reader than I was when we started. Mm-hmm. So at that point, maybe you kind of didn't have that same experience where you kind of knew where your stances were to start. So it kind of stayed the same throughout.
It changed the same way as you.
Yeah.
Just I started a different point on that curve. Not exponential, but opposite
parabolic, not opposite of that, a
opposite of
parabolic,
whatever,
descending.
No, oh. It's fine. Beginning is faster than as the time goes on, it's more plateaus.
Laws of diminishing return,
basically. That basically, I was in a different place on that curve than you,
yeah.
But
it changed slightly, yeah.
But I did improve. Like, I was okay, I now have more firm opinions. Like, there are certain genres that, like, even now, I don't have a firm grasp on romanticy. I'll be honest. Like, I'm not good at reviewing. I'll give my thoughts, but I think I would like to couch that opinion with just, hey, look, I haven't read as many things. This may be for you, it's not for me.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm way less reserved on it. And we talked about this before with C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
The only time you should criticize something is if you can find the joy in it, in the similar thing. So if you have no idea, if you've never read a mystery novel that you liked, you just can't find a mystery novel that you enjoy, you shouldn't be criticizing or reviewing mystery novels.
Not for you.
Not for you. You won't be able to give accurate criticism. You'll just like, I don't like it. And you won't be able to see the actual flaws. And that's us with romanticism. haven't read enough, haven't really read any that I particularly enjoy, so I can't comment on any criticism versus sci-fi fantasy. I've read a lot that I enjoy. I love that genre. Meaning when I read a bad one, I can see accurately what are the flaws, what it should be going for, what it's trying to do, and what would make it better. Instead of just, I don't like any part of this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's changed over time. I've read some, I think with prose-wise, I've read some really good, well-written books that have changed my opinion on writing. And yeah. Probably made me a bit more critical. But then again, it's a little mixed. I think I'm getting into another problem of critics, of an actual flaw critics have versus an audience. I think critics can get very jaded with their books. Like, because they've read so much, because they've watched so many movies, they're always looking for novelty. And they can't take a step back and go, like, yes, I've seen this before, so it doesn't excite me. But the average moviegoer, the average book reader will absolutely enjoy this because it's done well. Maybe it's not new, but it's at least done very competently and people should watch it. Have you noticed something like that?
Oh, totally. I think a lot of that. So the advantage to the audience then is something that you're newer to, mm-hmm. something that comes to mind for me, a movie that might come to mind would be Top Gun Maverick.
Sure. Yeah.
Top Gun Maverick. Kick-ass movie.
Kick-ass.
I think both critics and audiences both love it, but it's never going to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
It's never going to win from the critics of critics. It's never going to get that kind of applaud because it's not novel enough. It's paint by the numbers perfectly. It's such a fun movie that, sure, I've seen plots like that, but to be able to enjoy that, which... I guess how jaded can you be to not enjoy Top Gun Maverick, you know?
Yeah.
Look at another movie, Gladiator. Simple, formulaic, but I love it. It's so awesome. So I could see that being the case for... So I could see that being the case then for somebody who is newer to books and newer to fantasy and sci-fi, that every new book you read is the next best thing. Like, oh my God, I've never seen this before. The next one, oh my God, that's now the... I'm talking to you, Salty. No, that was him back in the day, but because when he was finding new books that he loved, that would happen. Your favorite changes so suddenly because what's the magic number then? At what point do you change from things being novel and grand to... At what point have you seen everything? How long does it take in a genre? How long does it take for you to become that jaded critic?
I think I've certainly changed a little bit.
Yeah.
I've noticed myself becoming more jaded on some issues, and I've deliberately toned it back. I try and think of, hey, my job as critiquing is if it's good or not. Not it did it wow me.
Yeah.
A trope may not particularly blow me out of the water when I read it, but I need to take myself out of it a little bit and go, was it done well? If I have never seen this trope before, would it have worked well for me?
Right.
Would it work well for someone else? That's kind of how I have to judge it in some categories, like prose wise. That's how I've changed. Is I can't judge everything to Lonesome Dove standard. I can't judge everything to, like, you know, Hyperion or something.
Tolkien.
I can't do that. That's not fair to anyone involved and ultimately not very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
What is good? What's kind of the average? What are the things that people need to understand from it? Does it pass?
Actually, I don't know about you, but for my kind of thinking to just stories in general, I've become my five stars, my books I love, I kind of become more hyper in love with them. And when I find something I love, I get more fervor behind it because I guess with the more of the spectrum of knowing how the things that exist, and then when a book really gets you, and it impresses you, and maybe it's novel, maybe it's not, but it just impresses you. Like, oh my God, I haven't seen this before. You get that kind of childlike wonder, but you've read so much and you still get that wonder. That's when you get those just explosive, holy shit, just changed my life kind of book. And for me, it like hits the extreme. I think of maybe when are the critics right about something that is novel and is so, wow, look at how impressive this film is. Look how impressive this book is. But the audience goes, what do you mean?
That's weird.
That's weird and confused. What the hell is that? Basically, yeah. Rich and I would watch the Oscar films each year because we're like, you know, why don't we do this? This could be.
Yeah.
We've always been the kind of, nah, the Oscars don't get it right. What are they doing? But then we watched the nominated ones.
A lot of, we really like Triangle of Sadness. We loved that movie.
The critics and audiences do not rate it high enough.
I watched so many reviews of just, it was hilarious seeing like the one side of the aisle going like, it's communist propaganda.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then the other side going like, it's capitalist propaganda. And then me going like, you're both idiots. It's propaganda against hierarchy. It's about hierarchy. There's hierarchy in social class. There's also hierarchy in financial systems. There's different types of hierarchy.
Survival. It's
wonderful.
It's a six star movie.
It's so good.
Incredible.
How do hierarchies work within the gender spectrum? Pretty versus ugly class, rich versus poor,
survival,
or like, you know, talent versus, you know, hacks. Yeah. Us.
It's so amazing.
Fantastic movie. Yeah. But anyway, it's enjoyable.
But the thing is that because I could see people looking at it going, what the hell is this kind of social commentary bullshit? Like, what is this? But we loved it. So,
yeah, I wonder if it would actually be helpful if critics had like a number under their names kind of thing, where like just the number of books they've read. So let's say it's a book reviewer, like you just have a stamped number of how many things they've read, and so you can look at it.
You have that on Goodreads.
Yeah, they exactly show you, like, but how if many it's more reviewed, yeah, more prominent, then you filter it by people who have read in the similar range as you. So if you've only read 50 books, you take a look at the people who've also read 50 something books. Maybe that's more accurate to whether will you like it or not versus someone who's read 2,000 books. It's like, are they going to give your book a chance? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Versus you would probably enjoy it still.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I want to clarify too, like whether you're new to fantasy and sci-fi, read 5 books, or you've read that 1,000, I guess reading more doesn't make you more correct. It doesn't make your opinion
more... To some
more...
degree, I think it does, up to a certain point, but then past
I see what you mean.
It.
The diminishing returns, what you're getting.
Exactly.
This is what I mean by correct. So reading your first 5 or reading 1,000 doesn't make you more correct about how you feel about the thing, about the book itself. So I guess what I'm getting at is you get more perspective for your own kind of view, but I think the value is whether you've read 5 books and 1,000 books and are going out there and reviewing it for other people, the value of a friend just watching a movie, so that doesn't watch many movies and tells you their opinion versus a critic that tells you their opinion, is how well you know the person is what I'm getting at. It is the value of you listening to somebody, whether they're newer or they've read more, is how well do you know that person's frame? Well, where is their mind at? Are they the type of person who likes thought-provoking films that do something new with cinema? Or are they the kind of person that goes and like, okay, if this person likes the movie, it means that like it's not too complicated, it's fun, it's good for the family. So Justin in our friend group, he's read a lot and he's also watched a lot of movies, but I know that the movies that are more going for something weird that I love, he doesn't like that. So I'll take his opinion valuably because I know where he's coming from and then can adjust accordingly. So I guess the correctness on whether you've done 5 or 1,000, your opinions of the thing is your opinion. And that's it. The value you can get and whether you go to critics or audience, I think, is how much can you pin down that person? What
It's something of an individual critic is more valuable than a swath of critics.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes. Where
the aggregate of an audience score is much more valuable than, I think, the aggregate of critic scores. But I would say the critic that you trust is more valuable than the whole entire audience, the audience score, like the rabble.
So it's especially somebody that you don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I'd agree with that.
Like, I would trust your opinion over, you know, the rabble. Like, if everyone said something, oh, this movie is terrible, but you come to me and say, like, oh, it's actually really good, I'll take your opinion over everyone else.
But versus, is that partly friend thing too? Is that?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I know your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know where it comes from. I can generally gauge it.
Yeah.
Versus if you and a bunch of other critics said, oh, this is really good, I don't value that as much. It's weird. Yeah. The more critics you have, the less it's valuable.
Wow. Do you want to test that in a quick game here? We'll come back to this conversation, but I've got a game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So are the experts actually correct? Tune the Steve Harvey, Family Feud music. I don't even know how good it is. Okay, so I have a game for you where I have both movie and book examples. So okay. Movies first.
Let's see if I've actually watched these movies.
So I'll give you the ones that people have definitely heard of and that maybe you've seen a long time ago. So here's the game. So I'm going to say the movie. And you have to guess if the critics or the audience rated it higher. All of these, it's a drastic difference. It's 20, 30, 40 point gaps. You have to guess who rated it higher and then say who's correct.
Got it.
Okay? So first movie, Spy Kids.
Oh.
Who rated it higher, the critics or the audience? And I'll give you, one of them gave it a 92%. The other gave it 47%.
I feel like you're giving me a red herring, but I mean, I'm going to go with the obvious one of... Yeah. Audience rates it much higher than the critics. And in this case, the audience is 100% correct.
I could not believe my eyes when I clicked on... I want to double check that my numbers are correct here just because I couldn't believe this when I saw it. I'm double checking right now because are my notes wrong? Nope, it's not. 92% was given by the critics. The critics think...
I knew you were trying to trick me.
The critics think Spy Kids a masterpiece.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's fun.
And the audience has not woken up yet.
No, they're not.
So
you know, oh, that makes me feel so vindicated. The unwashed masses are so wrong.
I'm going to keep a tally here of who you agree with more. Right now, it's one critics, audience is zero.
Damn.
You guys can play along at home.
To be part of the people sometimes. Like, that's deep down, I want to be a plebeian, but I really am a noble at heart.
See? So you would give it, so you would agree with the critics with Spy Kids?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Have you seen Uncut Gems? I just had that. You
haven't I haven't
that.
Yet.
Okay, no. Then I won't mention that one. Okay, Joker, the film Joker.
Okay.
Critics or audience, who gave it higher for Joker?
Audience gave it higher.
They did give it higher. And you'd agree with the audience?
I'd agree. I think it's a good movie.
So you are 1-1 with critics and audience. And the difference there was 68% critics, 89% for audience, which I was surprised to see. I thought the critics would really like that.
No, my thought behind it is the social aspect of taking a, like, you know, basically, hey, men's social issue of, like, I don't know.
I think it's kind of,
risque a little bit, like, and especially the backlash of, like, just it took... the incel culture of, like, hey, look, they deserve sympathy in the sense. And I don't think critics particularly liked that.
I maybe that's part of why I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just, the whole setup. We'll have a Joker review eventually.
Yeah, sure. I think it's just genuinely well made.
Oh,
not a particularly, like,
it's well shot.
Oh, it's amazing.
Look at that
movie.
Shot, though. Ooh.
Yeah, no.
It's like him good. Going with the stairs. Oh.
It's a good shot. It has great. Tense moments. Do I agree with the message of the film? No. But
maybe Joker's My Name of the Wind from all films.
Who knows?
I don't know. Okay, I have another one for you. The Last Jedi, Star Wars Episode 8.
The critics have this way higher than the audience.
Who do you agree with?
The audience. It sucked.
Critics gave it 91%. audience give it 41%.
There's that Disney money.
You are with the audience.
That's the Disney money right there. How do you... The first
bad movie.
The first Star Wars movie ever where two lightsabers don't fight. Like, don't actually clash. No. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
There's
conditions.
A lot more flaws in the movie, but I like that that's the first one you
mentioned. That's the first
one. I like that.
No.
I respect that.
The fact that the prequels are bad movies. They're bad movies. Yeah. But they have some cool lightsaber duels is the redeeming quality.
Phantom Menace did have a cool... But other than the...
All of them had
the
cool lightsaber duels. Meaning, like, it at least was somewhat worth the ticket price. I got some entertainment out of it. I could say, the acting was bad.
Dialogue horrible.
Bad.
Plot, that's also bad. But cool.
Cool lightsaber battle.
Hans Zimmer goes up. Wait, was it Hans? No. John Williams. John Williams went off. Yeah.
At least something.
Yeah.
The fact that you get, in even the first movie, was like those lightsaber battles. Like, yeah, technically he had a lightsaber battle, but it was lame. Not really fun.
What about the episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, critics versus audience, who rated it higher?
Again, audience lower, critics higher.
I was shocked to see critics gave it 51%.
Really?
Audience gave it 86%.
What?
I don't know what happened on this one, but you are with the critics on this one, Rich. You are 2-2. You are with the critics on The Rise of Skywalker. Can you believe that? I'm going to double check my numbers. Rise of Skywalker.
I feel dirty. And also, did the Disney money run out on that movie? Like, what happened?
Well, 86% on
for
audience.
It's worse than this. How?
I always have trouble deciding which is worse than two.
No, the dialogue. As soon as they said, somehow Palpatine returned, it was at that point, it was garbage movie.
But what they did to Luke in episode 8, it's just...
It's bad.
Yeah. But the point is, look at that flip, though. It's the Disney money. What happened there? I don't know.
I don't know.
I was so...
My
so,
whole worldview is being shocked.
I have to challenge my own thoughts now. Now I have another one for you, Rich.
Okay.
Blues Brothers. Who is correct? Audience or critics, who rated it higher? This is big. For those who don't know this, this is Rich's favorite movie of all time.
The best
movie.
Does
he agree?
Of all time.
This kind of determines if he's a critic fan or if he's an audience fan. Is he one of the people? I don't know.
I feel like critics like this movie a lot more than the audience, and they're correct.
The audience liked it more.
I'm one of the people, I guess.
92. You are the democracy. You are the cringe. No. Look at you. Look what you've become.
Look, we will use the democracy. To bring in the monarchy. That's what it takes. The divine right of people suddenly turns into the divine right to rule. That's how it is.
That's from our merch has Democracy's Cringe. Is that right?
It is.
Our merch,
yeah,
which people
we have
can
merch.
Go get.
Yeah, I got a hat.
Tutorramble.com.
You can get a shirt or bookmarks. We have them somewhere.
And you can also check out our book club, Patreon. Link in the description below. We're reviewing Jade City in the book club this month. So that'll be fun.
Now, by the time this video comes out, it's...
I think we're having the book club like as we're talking, actually. It'll be right around then.
Interesting.
So it'll be maybe a day before we had this book club. It'll be very close.
Interesting. All right. There we go. Our shameless advert for ourselves.
Now,
what did the critics give it?
71%. So still pretty high.
Still pretty high.
But then audience gave it 92%.
It's objectively correct. It's one of the most magical musical ensembles that you've ever seen. Like, music legends come together for this ridiculously silly movie. One of the best, like, car chase maniac chaos crashes. It's amazing. The Carrie Fisher with a rocket launcher shooting at John Belushi. Need I say more? But I will. With some of the best lines, Dan Aykroyd, the best music... From scene to scene is cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant movie. Every music... I can't gush about this movie enough, and I don't want to derail it too much, but it is objectively perfect movie. Better than Citizen Kane? Yes. Better than...
12 Angry Men?
12 Angry Men? Yes. It's better than all of them.
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. It's better.
The books?
Yeah.
Hyperion?
Yeah. Blues Brothers.
Lonesome Dove?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Blues Brothers. He's still all going. The way.
That's conviction.
It's the best. It's the best.
Who I respect the most in the world? I think it's the cult members. You know, not even the leaders. It's the members. Yeah. So I go, wow, you're really into that, aren't you?
I am always down for the Blues Brothers cult. I am there.
Now, I had some more here, but I think it's good to end with you having three of the audience you agree with and two on the critic side. You're one of the audience.
Hey, I'll use the people to get into power, and then we will discard all those who disagree with me. That's how it works. That is why democracy is cringe. Mm.
Well, now I have for you some books to talk about.
Okay.
Because movies aside, these are some books where the critics and the audience, which you can't just go to Rotten Tomatoes for this, so it took some...
A little bit of internet sleuthing?
Some sleuthing and some knowledge of things we've reviewed just to see the differences here. So I have three books, examples. The first is, and you already probably know the answers to these, I just want, and I know where you agree, but sure, just to talk about it.
I know about books more so than movies.
Yes. Overall. So This Is How You Lose the Time War.
Ah.
That is one where, as we both know, the critics definitely like it more than the audience typically does.
Generally speaking, yeah. And I'm with the critics. I like the book.
And it's even book. Saying that, people are going, what the hell are you thinking?
It's a good book. It's a fun, unique, and again, maybe part of it is novelty. I thought it was really novel, very fun, interesting premise, and it grabbed me. Now, is it a little confusing? Yeah. It's a bit confusing.
It's a bit.
You hand that to the random person, go like, read this. What's it about? You'll find out. Yeah, they're in for a time.
Oh, you can't really pitch that too easily.
Yeah, no, that's not
good. This is where it's a 3.88 stars on Goodreads, and anything below 4, it's tough to get a below a 4 for a very popular book.
Yeah.
So you can get below 4s for less reviewed ones, but when it has so many reviews like this does, a lot of people didn't like it. Also, when we did our book club for it, a lot of people in the book club hate it. Was one of our controversial ones. People hated the book and went into it. I think you and I were some of the only ones that liked it. There were a handful, but not many.
Yeah. No.
And this is in, I think it's in Daniel Green's top 5 books of all time.
That's a little high.
But he is the critic of critics, though, on BookTube.
He is the critic.
So the critic does like it.
He's the big daddy of YouTube.
Yep. So it was in a video where he was talking about his top 10. I think it reached top 5. It might have been number 2, actually. I think it was a second favorite book, he said. Yeah.
Like, of the year?
No, of all time.
Oh.
Yeah. Someone fact checked me in the comments. I saw this video he did, and I was like, wow, that's...
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then I remember Curtis from shout out Curtis. Curtis was tagged me in the Discord, and he was saying, he added me and basically said, all right, you even know this is a stretch. It's not that good. And I said, okay, it's not that good. But it is, I think it's great.
Yeah. So,
now, next example, The Grace of Kings by Ken Liu. Ken Liu was on our pod. Great episode. Check that out.
I mean, it's hard for me to believe that critics don't like this book. I know critics like this book. At least several other book reviewers, like Matt's Fantasy Reviews,
that's
really
correct.
Likes
it's
it.
His favorite, Mike, one of his favorite series.
Yeah. I've seen Mike's book reviews had this one.
I have for sure people who like it is Matt, Library of a Viking, Johan, 5 stars, loves it. Patrick Leo, 5-star, loves it. All, so the critics I'm using are book reviewers in the fantasy sci-fi genre. Also love this book.
And we also love the book.
It's a great book, yeah.
It's a great book.
Not the best of it. Great. Still great. And 3.79 stars on Goodreads. Pretty low, very low.
Very low for Goodreads.
A lot of people did not connect with this one. And it is written very much like a... Bless you. It's very much written like a parable of sorts as well. It's kind of... I describe it as biblical. It's one of those that doesn't have the super wide appeal that you pick this up. Oh, you know, it's safe. It's your Hunger Games. You're going to like this. It's popular. It's niche.
Yeah.
So when people get it recommended by BookTubers, I could see them going in with expectations and going, what is this?
And people generally want to follow, like, they want a pretty straightforward plot where they follow a character through their journey.
Yes.
And not how it's split amongst these different characters, and you have random time jumps throughout there. You get to see a wide stretch of their life and of the country's life. Like, it's unique. It's a unique perspective that you don't see as often. So,
novel.
It's a trilogy. It's a trilogy of books condensed into one.
Isn't there? No.
It's a trilogy's that worth of book content mashed into one, and I think expertly done.
Very well done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last one I have here.
Okay.
Is Fourth Wing.
Yeah. Critics are going to say very high things about this.
Well, no, this was actually a little bit of the opposite for what I was thinking. The audience tends to love it.
Oh, I thought generally everyone, all the romantic-y critics would say it's great. And also the audience, right?
I think it's more, the audience seems to love it, but there's a lot of hate Fourth Wing gets.
Oh,
there's,
okay.
I would kind of put it, now you can't scale and look at the Rotten Tomatoes score, but I think the reason there's a lot of hate too is it got outside of its genre. People like us even read it.
Yeah.
The romanticy people, I think, do generally like it more.
That's the general. So now I dislike Fourth Wing, not on its romantic elements, but specifically the fantasy parts of it. I don't think it appealed to me as a fantasy reader. That's why I think I could actually provide some criticism to the book. Mm-hmm. The romance part of it, I can't really say too much other than, like, you know, keep it in your pants for 5 goddamn seconds.
Come on, Violet.
Violet, your friends are dying all around you. Could you maybe chill out for 5 seconds? Other than that, you know, I'm not one to judge on for a romantic book. That's not my forte, not my wheelhouse. So if you like it, cool.
Using C.S. Lewis's device there.
Exactly.
It's not my thing.
But so, fantasy-wise, I think I can say something about...
Yeah.
I don't think the world is as well set up. I don't particularly like how the plot is done. Bunch of that stuff. So, yeah.
But that was my little game on films and books for how critics and audiences think. I think
who'd we find out? Who's the real... Who has the real authority, the audience or the critics?
That's the thing. And I think what, even going over that small game there, before doing this episode, I thought it was very cookie cutter of like, oh, I can guess all the stuff the audience would like and the critics were like. It's not always the case.
Yeah.
You can generally assume that if something's weird and so novel that it doesn't have large appeal, certain critics will tend to like it. I think that's one trend.
Now, how much is this affected by time where... a new book, new movie comes out, and you know, the first couple weeks, those critic scores come in and they're all super positive. And because, like, you know, the influence around it, whether people were paid or not for their review. And then as the time goes on, more critics come to the review and drop the score. How much would that be the case? Because I think around this time, or something topical that's around now, I'm not much of a gamer. But I do know of, like, the stuff around Dragon Age Veilguard.
Okay.
It's a video game coming around. Basically, the weird thing is IGN gave it a 9 out of 10, which is a very high score for IGN. IGN notoriously gives everything, like, a 7. Everything is a 7 out of 10 kind of worthless because they don't want to give it too low or else they don't get called back for any kind of early review copies, whatever it is. Anyway, they gave it 9 out of 10. Awesome game, apparently. Fantastic. And most people are going, all right, really? Hey, there's some problems with this game. And they release more stuff afterward saying, like, hey, it has all these flaws and there's some good positive elements to it, but they were far more critical in their later opinions, like a week or two afterward. And people are going, IGN, you gave this a 9 out of 10. This is your review? With all this criticism, you're giving it a 9 out of 10. What the hell?
Why did they
do
that?
Cultural things is all I'll get into.
So, but like people...
There's argument of cultural pressure and also, who knows, maybe monetary pressure or, you know, big studio. How much do they want to be
paid? So audience in a way influenced the reviewer in that
case. Possible. It's possible that the audience influenced IGN to maybe update their review so they don't lose as much credibility. Mm. I don't know. But that's a more topical thing.
That's
those kinds of critic reviews are going to be more common in the as soon as the game's released, they're going to be super positive. And as time goes on where it doesn't matter as much, then critics can maybe come out of the woodwork and give their honest opinion.
I've seen that happen. That's happened with movies like Apocalypse Now, I think a little bit with 2001 A Space Odyssey, where afterwards critics look back and go, no, that's a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Or Blade Runner, when it was initially released in theaters, there were some issues because there was a couple different versions of the movie coming out, but over time, people looked at it as a sci-fi classic, a masterpiece. So sometimes over time, people can look back and go, wow, we were way too harsh with that.
Yeah.
And end up being positive. So, yeah. Has that happened with books? Do you have a
Black Adam?
But that's not a book.
Sorry. No, oh, yeah. Oh, I was thinking other examples of like early reviews came in. Hey, it's pretty great because of X, Y, and Z.
Oh,
and then
we were the number one haters.
Oh, early on.
I saw Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I said, that's not for me.
We know it sucks.
To be honest, though, as much as I make fun of, he's like always The Rock in every single movie he does. Seems like a funny guy.
Seems like a nice enough person.
Yeah. It's just the roles. I'm like, I don't want to see him in an adaptation of a fantasy book.
It's not even that he does a particularly terrible job. It's just the movies that he's in are not good movies.
Yeah. Typically.
Is that his fault for picking bad movies? Maybe.
But those movies typically have the huge budgets. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, fair enough.
What did we answer?
The Rock is out here for The Rock.
Okay, so you have three options when you're looking for the audience, critics, and The Rock. And who do you go for?
The Rock is honestly a much better barometer of whether something's of quality or not.
He's a great quality barometer. Oh,
if he's in a project, 9 times out of 10 sucks.
Now, if I see
Jumanji was good.
That was good.
It was the one time.
Just because you had your Karen McGillan in it.
Oh, she made up for a lot of The Rock. The scales balanced out.
Now, when you see somebody's a part of a project, how do you know, okay, that slaps, that's 10 out of 10? Don't touch
it. Guy isn't... The guy...
What guy?
Ryan something.
Oh! Oh my God! Not Seacrest. Oh my, not Reynolds.
Not Reynolds.
Oh my God!
The guy,
Ryan. Jesus, he's my favorite guy. Barbie. Yeah. He's Ken.
Barbie. He's Ken.
Ryan Gosling. That's it. Okay.
If Ryan Gosling's in something,
he's awesome.
Exception. I did watch The Gray Man because Ryan Gosling's in it.
Is it not good?
It's real
bad. Don't break my heart.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Okay. Well, like, ignore that.
Objectively, it's.
That's so sad.
Abysmal.
That's so sad.
It's one of the worst things that's possible.
Even if he's...
Sometimes
if he's in a bad movie, he'll make it good. Was he the best part of The Gray Man?
He's the best part of it.
That's all I ask. Because
he's the best part of an awful, awful movie.
You watch La La Land, that charming, fun... I love him. And Barbie, Ken was the best. Ken's always...
steal it.
Let's go, Ken.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Just, it's... He's so funny. Sublime! he's awesome!
Yeah, so...
Ryan Gosling's the crux.
He's my... okay.
So you have Rock on one end, Ryan Gosling on the other, then you have critics like us and the audience in the middle. And what did we come to a conclusion here? Who should you go to? How does this all work? Who's right, the critics or the audience?
Like every discussion, it depends.
We got you again! We pulled you in for the discussion to get to I don't know.
It depends!
I think the one thing we learned here, I guess some self-reflection, is being, I guess we were talking about this more out loud now. So being aware that the bigger we get, the more we can get biased to wanting to fit in or wanting to, as we interact with more of these authors and so forth, to still keep it as honest as possible. And I think the way we do that is one, reviewing the small books like Dungeon Crawlers never do good on this channel, book 6, something like that. So just continuing to review the books that don't get the clicks.
Yeah.
And also, I guess to tell everybody where we come from is we do value the integrity portion above getting an extra 1,000 clicks on YouTube or something. So I guess if there was a day where someone said, hey, here's $1 million to say you like the book. No, we haven't been tested that. But there's not enough of incentive to be dishonest ever than to just say, hey, the cost for us is integrity, but also genuinely having
it's a combination
the passion of our lives here. So
it's a combination of we value our integrity highly, but also I know that financially wise, that is the most valuable thing we have on this channel.
It's incentivized.
The minute we sell out our integrity is the minute this channel's worthless.
Yep.
So we also gotta be careful.
Honestly, the self-image too, it means a lot to go like, am I being honest here? Just as a person. Mm-hmm. So there,
but that's something we've learned today.
Yes, what did we learn?
We could teach, we could dictate to people, is a critic's authority is only valid if you give it that authority.
Yeah.
So when you say like, hey, how valuable are critics' opinions? Nothing, unless you give it to them.
Basically, same thing with some audiences too.
Yeah. If you value their, if you value their opinion, then they're a valid critic. If you don't value their opinion, then they're just one of the rabble. That's all they are.
Right. Because someone could say a statement and it can come from a different mouth and you'll go, oh, I agree with that. But then somebody says it that you don't agree with or don't like and you could just disregard it.
Yeah.
And so trying, I guess, valuing the who's actually uttering it. And then besides that, what are they actually saying? And are they saying Wheel of Time sucks? Trust that person. Trust that person with your life.
Yeah. Discount them.
Trust them.
Trust them. That kind of person would also say something like Red Rising is a literary masterpiece.
Trust that person.
Ugh, trust terrible. That person.
I trust you. Okay.
Guess what?
I'm not doing that.
You know what?
I kissed the camera.
Sanderson.
Yeah.
Sanderson loves The Wheel of Time. Loves it. Loves it more than anything.
Don't ever meet your heroes because sometimes Sanderson. Sometimes your heroes have flaws. That's what I recognize is he's 99.9% God Emperor Brandon Sanderson. No one can ever be 100%, you know?
Yeah. In my case, he's 100% on the ball.
Damn you.
I'm more of a Sanderson fan, I guess.
He got me.
That just means, I'm standing Sanderson more than you.
Let me think of something you disagree with him on. It's tough. I don't think you actually do you?
Yeah, we're pretty in line. Yeah,
you are pretty in line. Mm-hmm. Damn it. You know what? Here's where I'd be in line. I bet you the books I'd like the most would be the ones where Sanderson, because I heard the finale's the best, because Robert Jordan, as he wrote it, saved a lot of the payoff for, boom, big conclusion in the end.
To be fair, I'm kind of with you. Some of my favorite moments are in the end. Like, Sanderson did a
kick-ass job. Honestly, that's
job.
Because of Robert Jordan, though, because Sanderson could have written it. So it's...
Yeah, no, but still, my favorite books are... Arguably, like book four is one of my favorite books, and you read it, thought it was crap. So,
that's what I knew it wasn't for me.
But. No, book 9 and 10, I really enjoyed.
10
was amazing, book 9 was great. So, like, I liked a lot of Robert Jordan stuff, and Sanderson also just did a kick ass job. So
what's your plea to the people? Should they trust you?
I don't really care if they do at that point.
You're right.
That's the thing. You can.
I was looking
you
out.
You can
there.
Listen to my opinion if you like.
I was reaching.
You don't
I was valuing the person behind the camera for a second there. I just why did I do that?
I don't care.
Oh my goodness. I almost tricked
Here's
myself.
The thing. If they agree with me, that means they're right. If they disagree with me, why do I care about some random person being wrong about things?
So as you've learned here, if you're gonna go trust Richard's opinion here, just know he doesn't care about you.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't care.
The honest part below that, though, is when we get comments on book reviews and book club, all that stuff actually does help for opinions. And like,
it's fun.
It's actually fun because as much as we joke with that stuff,
it
would not be. Yeah.
Comments and feedback is enjoyable, but it's not something like I'm going to, like, if someone disagrees with me, I'm going to rack my, like,
oh no.
No,
but there's been comments that have like disagreed with the reviews and goes, oh. Yeah. It changed the way I think, or at least looked at it. So there's plenty of that. And that's why a big part of us doing BookTube in the first place was not just talking at each other, what we think. The extra thing is there is a third person here.
Yeah.
There's a third person involved. And feel that parasocial strain relationship.
It was so much fun reading the comments of all of you guys. Like, surprisingly, a lot of you guys agreeing with Austin that you didn't book three of the first Law trilogy.
I felt like it was...
It was a lot.
It was...
There was more than I expected.
More than I expected, too. It was more so 80-20, maybe.
Maybe
75-25.
So. Yeah. But I enjoyed those comments. It was great.
It was
I got
to
be
read.
On the correct side of history in that video. It's always enjoyable.
I was shocked that it wasn't 95% hate on me. More so, it was only 80%.
Yeah.
I was happy with that. I was going, you know what? Nice.
Yeah.
There is some... Maybe there was some value in showing... I guess they just needed a spokesperson.
There are not many videos out there... crapping on or saying that The Last Arrogate Kings is a bad book. Not many.
I didn't say it was a bad book. Our scale, it's disappointing.
Ah.
Bad would be 1.5 stars. Yeah, come on, we need to get that right.
We do. Yep. I just wanted to dig you into a deeper hole.
Oh, the whole trying to lose my integrity type thing?
Yeah. I'll try to discredit you.
Okay, that's we'll see. Rich is going to be in a furry suit next week. Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, all.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.